Welcome to this Touch podcast activity, which has been recorded for Touch Oncology. This podcast aims to bring you expert perspectives from a multidisciplinary team on the management of patients with cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma. Specialists in the MDT involved in the diagnosis and treatment of patients with cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma share their perspectives on the best practices for accurate diagnosis and risk assessment, eligibility for curative surgery or radiotherapy, and the use of systemic treatment. Financial support for this medical educational activity has been provided to Touch IME by an educational grant from Regeneron Pharmaceuticals Incorporated and Sanofi Genzyme. In this podcast, a dermato-oncologist and a dermatologist consider when to use systemic therapies to treat patients with locally advanced or metastatic cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, using a patient case to illustrate the emerging role of immunotherapy in clinical practice.
Hello, my name is Dr. Joël Claveau, dermato-oncologist at Laval University in Quebec City. I'm joined today by my colleague, Dr. Caroline Robert, professor of dermatology at Gustave Roussy in Villejuif, Paris, France. In this section, we will discuss how systemic therapies for locally advanced and metastatic inoperable squamous cell carcinoma are used in our clinical practice. We will also address the impact of existing and emerging therapies on patients' quality of life. We will start by discussing a patient case to illustrate how different treatment options are considered in the clinic. Professor Robert, would you kindly introduce the case?
Thank you, Joël. So this patient was 88 years old. He came to see us. And the biopsy showed an invasive, aggressive squamous cell carcinoma with perineural invasion. So it was really something quite serious at the pathology report. And obviously, clinically, it was very large, as you see. When we examined the patient, he had a systolic murmur and we found a tight aortic stenosis. When we palpated the lymph node area, regional lymph node, in fact, quite surprisingly, he had small lymph node that did not seem to be invaded by the cancer. He had a cardiac evaluation that found that confirmed the tight aortic stenosis. The ejection fraction of the left ventricle was 55%, and it was decided that the patient could have a transcatheter aortic valve implantation after he was treated for his skin cancer. So we did not find that the lymph nodes were from cancerous origin, and the CT scan did not find any distant metastasis.
It's the classic case where you're surprised that the patient arrives late, and you really need an effort of all the colleagues to discuss this case at tumor boards.
So, of course, we have everybody around the table on this case, the surgeons, the radiation oncologists, the oncologists, dermatologists. And quite rapidly, it was decided that surgery was not going to be the best option for this patient. It was very large. And now we know that we have some systemic therapy that we would like to try at least first. But of course, we discussed the case with all of our colleagues. And then what was proposed that was to treat the patient with immunotherapy with an anti-PD-1, so cemiplimab, which is authorized for this indication. And we discussed with the patient. Of course, we informed the patient and his family of the benefit that we were expecting from this treatment, but also of the risks that were associated to this treatment. But it really seemed to us that it was the best option to propose to this patient. So probably, Joël, what would you have?
We would do the same. We would do the same. Often some surgeons are pretty brave and they might say, oh, I can do it. We can always do big flaps. And often a surgeon, are have a lot of expertise and great techniques. But in a case like that, especially in a bad surgical candidate, as you explained with this aortic stenosis, I really think the option of systemic treatment is the best. Radiotherapy is not a good option for that big of a tumor as a primary treatment. And in the past, with chemotherapy and EGFR inhibitors, we had disappointing results. May respond briefly, but I think recent advances in the use of immunotherapy has changed the approach of those cases.
Yeah, I think it's very important what you say, that it's not doable surgically. And we have very good surgeons. But the thing is, we changed our indications progressively with the arrival of drugs that have a good, a better benefits-risk ratio. So our surgeons, they learn with us and they say, okay, I could do that, but I think it's better if you try your drug first. So that's what we propose to the patient. So, of course, he had to be very well informed of the risk. And so we decided to begin the treatment. So he received one infusion of cemiplimab. Only 48 hours after the first infusion, the patient had an elevation of the troponin. And we had a very rapid cardiac checkup that found that the ejection fraction had decreased 44%. And of course, what were we afraid of was myocarditis, because we know that it can happen. It seemed to be very fast, but nevertheless, this was our first our first thought. The patient was very rapidly sent to intensive cardiology unit, where it was found that he had, at the coronarography, bitruncular lesions. He had a stent put in place very rapidly. MRI of the myocardium did not find any sign of myocarditis, and it was decided that it was too dangerous to perform a myocardial biopsy. And the patient, he did well from the cardiologic point of view. Now, what we have learned with the anti-PD-1 in the melanoma field and now in the field of skin carcinoma, skin squamous cell carcinoma, is that before resuming treatment, first, if you can look at what you have in terms of response to the treatment, because there is no reason to resume a treatment if you have a good efficacy. In fact, these patients, he needed to have time to go over his cardiac problems. And then at 2 months, the response was spectacular after only one infusion. So it's not always like that. We know that the response rate of cemiplimab is around 50% of the patient, which is already very good as compared to what we had before. But this case is very spectacular. And you see at 10 months, there is almost nothing left after one infusion. So in this case, and it happens in several patients, we don't need to resume the treatment, to go back to the treatment if the response is good. So this is something that we have learned with the immune checkpoint blockade, that we can have some very good response even without doing a long-term treatment. In fact, we don't exactly know how long we need to treat the patient. This is a very important question.
Very spectacular. I think a big question comes for at rounds and at tumor boards is, what is the tolerance of those treatments, especially in the elderly populations? Squamous cell carcinoma, advanced squamous cell, often we have elderlies above 70, even 80 years old. And literature have told us, and our experience too, that those medications are well tolerated. It's about 15% serious side effect, most likely thyroid problems, skin rashes, and mild colitis. We have to be aware that some rare side effects, like in your case, can happen. And with good clinical follow-up, I think we can support the patient and really had a fantastic result in that case that changed completely the life of this patient. So very impressive.
Yes. And as you say, elderlies, we work a lot with geriatricians. And now they love immunotherapy, our geriatrician, I can tell you. Each time we discuss a patient and we, I mean, they say, oh, most of the time they give their okay to, for the patient to receive immunotherapy because they were used to see patients with chemotherapy with a very rapid degradation of the general health status. So it's very rare that they tell us this patient cannot stand immunotherapy.
This is a good point. What is the option when the patient cannot tolerate immunotherapy? I would say that first, talk about the contraindication. We've seen patients with rheumatoid arthritis, and we think they will not be able to receive, and we can manage the arthritis. We just started a patient recently on Crohn's disease that is tolerating well. So there is contraindication. Again, being aware, work with colleagues, talk with the patient. Yes, sometimes really this is not possible, but most of the time I would think immunotherapy is possible. And often, as you said, chemotherapy is not a better option because often it has a lot of toxicity, especially at this age, renal side effects. So I think...
Yes, I think, I mean, the patient that really for whom we really hesitate and sometimes we just can't is an organ transplant because, I mean, we are so afraid that the patient lose their transplant. So when in the kidney, sometimes it happens that we can do it. But when patients have a cardiac transplant or a liver transplant, it's out of the question, of course. But it's true that we are not comfortable when we have to go to chemotherapy and even EGFR blockade. I mean, it's not a standard treatment, but it's not authorized in Europe, but we use it sometimes and it can help. But as you said, it's usually not long-term benefit. If it works and the tolerance is not excellent, I mean, on the skin, it's difficult. So
what do you see coming up after immunotherapy to help for those 50% not responding? Do you see any other possibilities? Any other?
Now we are doing clinical trials where we combine with an oncolytic virus that we inject in the tumor plus anti-PD-1. So we'll see if it is better than anti-PD-1 single agent. But we have to evaluate new drugs. I don't see something really obviously coming in the landscape. So maybe ipilimumab as a combination, but then we will be confronted to a toxicity issue in this population of patients. So right now, we really hope that the patients are going to respond to immunotherapy, honestly.
I think, the most promising option will be to use it in a neoadjuvant setting. Your case was obvious, not inoperable, but sometimes it's borderline tumor. The surgeon might be skeptical about the efficacy of immunotherapy if they haven't seen a great case of some cases like that. But at least shrink the tumor for a couple of months and have an easier surgery. For me, it's really a great option for the future.
Right now, I think it's so exciting with these new drugs that we really change the way we treat our patient, and this is really for the best. So this is such an exciting period that we are living through, I think.
One of the most spectacular cases we had in Quebec City was just at the beginning of the use of simiplimab, where we actually treated the patient with radiotherapy. Because we didn't have access. And then we started simiplimab and it was a fantastic result. So maybe in the future, a combination of both radiotherapy plus simiplimab, it is studied right now and also will be another option. Sequential use, etc. So I would really like to thank you, Caroline, for this discussion on advanced cutaneous squamous cell. Thanks for the audience for watching.
Thank you for listening to this Touch podcast. You can access more content on this topic on Touch Oncology at www.touchoncology.com. Don't forget, there are 3 other chapters in this series, so please listen in for further insights from the multidisciplinary team.
Thank you.